Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that engages us this morning is the gospel lesson. The title for our sermon today is this: What else are you going to pray? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dearly beloved in the Lord, you want to have some fun with a Lutheran? Ask them to pray publicly. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever experienced this? I will be maybe at a meeting, and I'll invite someone to open up the meeting with prayer. And suddenly, it's a little like Bambi staring down a semi at night. And I don't know if this is just a Lutheran thing or just a Christian thing or what. Maybe, I don't know what the concern is. Maybe the person feels inadequate. Maybe they figure, Pastor, this is what we're paying you for. But there seems to be sometimes this hesitation to pray publicly. And if that's you, I'm not here to run you down. I get it, actually. I'm here to point out someone today who teaches us how to pray publicly. And interestingly, he's not a pastor. He's not a seminary professor. He is a blind beggar. Just listen to him. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. That's it. That's the prayer. He doesn't heap up empty words. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. But if you notice something, this simple prayer is the very prayer that the church has put on our lips ever since. Today, we did the confession and absolution. We do that as sort of a preparation. We entered in with the introit. What was the very first prayer that we offered to the Lord today? Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. So simple. So profound. Actually, that's one of the earliest parts of the liturgy. The church said, we are going to make sure these words are on the lips of the faithful. And we're not done singing it. So pay attention today for the other times that we say, Lord, have mercy. Why? We needed filler, right? We needed to take up some space, and that'll work. Something about these words that show up on the lips of the people we hear about in the Bible, and now it's on our lips too. This is the prayer. Just listen to this. Blind beggar, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. What does he know? And what does the church know? I think it's simply this. The world's a mess. There's problems. You've noticed it. You watch TV. You have watched the news. You see that we have been fighting all kinds of wars. There's wars all over the world. There is the war on poverty. There is the war on drugs. There is the war on terrorism. You see the fighting amongst politicians. And you see it on the news and you complain about it. And have you noticed actually that for all of your griping, nothing has ever changed? You haven't changed anything. In fact, that's sort of the deal. We see the problems, but we're not fixing them. I mean, we certainly will volunteer and we do things and we can alleviate concerns and we should try, but when all is said and done, the problems are still there. Actually, it gets a little bit more uncomfortable. Because here's the truth. More times than we care to admit, we've actually contributed to the problem. We're not fixing it. We've actually said things. We've done things. We've thought things that have hurt other people, exacerbated the problem, dysfunction abounds, and it's on our hands, it's on our tongues, it comes from our hearts. And the church knows this. And so she invites us to say, Lord, have mercy. And it's not a weak, anemic cry, by the way. It's not, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It is the cry of need. Now, here's the thing. Know this, that if you cry out this prayer, like you're taught by the blind beggar, the crowds are going to tell you to pipe down. The crowds are going to say, you're making a scene. The crowds are going to say, you're not worthy, don't bother Jesus. And your response is going to be, at first, say, maybe they're right. I don't want to cause a scene. I'm afraid to stand out. I'm ashamed that people might know my problems. That I don't have my act together. And so out of fear and out of shame, we quiet down. But I'm here today to tell you that fear and shame are liars. And anyone peddling in fear and shame is listen to the beggar. He's not cowed by the crowd. They tell him to pipe down, so he pipes up. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He's not interested in the question of whether or not he's worthy. What he knows is he's got issues. That's the way we talk about it today, right? He's got issues. And he knows that Jesus is merciful. He needs mercy, and it just so happens that Jesus is the one who's merciful and can do something about it, so he calls out for help. It's that simple, and that's what we're doing. We're not calling out to Jesus because we are worthy. We're calling out to Jesus because we have a need. We're hurting. We're broken. Things are a mess. It's not getting fixed. Jesus, Lord, have mercy. Well, now watch what Jesus does. He brings the man near to him. And then he asks the man, What do you want me to do for you? In case you didn't hear that, what do you want me to do for you? Really? Jesus, they bring a blind man to you, and you got to ask the question, what do you want me to do for you? I do not intend to be blasphemous here, but I mean, we know that Jesus is the light of the world, but if he's got to ask that question, Jesus must be a little dim, right? Or maybe it's not that Jesus is dim. It's that he's treating this man with dignity. He brings the man to himself, and he doesn't assume, he doesn't tell him what he needs, he asks, what would you like me to do for you? He invites him into a conversation. Friends, that's exactly what's happening here. I know you drove, but really, the reason why you're here is because Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, drew you to himself. And here in this place, he asks you, what do you want me to do for you? So tell him. Tell him what's going on. Tell him where you hurt. Tell him where you're afraid. Tell him where you're ashamed. What Jesus did for the blind man is what he does for us. He brings us into his very presence and invites us into a holy conversation. What do you want me to do for you? And then comes the mercy of God. And I'm not talking about the fact that the man was healed of his blindness. That's nice. But the real mercy of God, the place where God's mercy is really showcased, is when this man, who now has recovered his sight, follows Jesus into Jerusalem. You didn't get it? Okay, we'll try it again. At the very beginning of the gospel lesson, we heard Jesus say that we are going up to Jerusalem and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. He will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. And now, as Jesus goes into Jerusalem, this blind man is following him. Didn't catch it? Third time's a charm. Jesus tells his disciples, fellas, this is it. We are walking into Jerusalem. I'm going to give up my divine life as a ransom for the whole world. All of history is leading up to this one point. And Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, heals a blind man and brings him with him to follow all the way to the cross. And what the disciples could not understand, what they did not see, this blind man does. He sees the God-man Christ giving up his life for the world. That's mercy. See, mercy, first and foremost, actually isn't what you and I see. The real mercy is that God has seen us. He has seen our mess. He has seen our dysfunction. And he didn't give us the stiff arm. He came to be with us, to sacrifice his life for all. He has regard for us. And there on the cross, he has known personally the depths of our sin and darkness. He didn't deal with the symptoms. He has addressed the very heart of our disease. And the blind man sees it. And by faith, so do you. That's the miracle. Somebody say that. That's the miracle. That's the mercy of God. So maybe that's why every time we show up for church, we keep calling out, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Because we've seen what God can do. When all signs point to this idea that everything's lost, we actually can double down on this one truth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has given his life into death and he rose from the dead. We're putting it all on Jesus. In fact, there was this pastor and theologian. You maybe heard of him. His name is Martin Luther. Here's what he says. Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that the believer would stake life itself on it 1,000 times. What are you dealing with? Is it problems in your family? Is there some sort of dysfunction? Are you at enmity with a parent or with a sibling? Is there a messy marriage? Are you dealing with lying children? Is maybe your problem money issues? Are you dealing with cancer? Do all signs point to game over? Are you trying to settle for the best you can do with what you got? I'm here today to tell you, you can go with Jesus on this one. He sacked sin. He destroyed death. He defeated the devil. Can't he save you in your problems too? Maybe we haven't seen the salvation yet, but we know. We've seen it. We've seen what he can do. We've seen what he can do. Say it with me. We've seen what he can do. We've seen what he can do. Because you see, things that are actually worth seeing, you can't see with your eyeballs. You have to see by faith, but we've seen it. We've seen it. We know. I know you're hurting, but we've seen it. I know you messed up again, but we've seen it. I know it looks like everything's lost, but we've seen it. We've seen what God can do. Friends, why are you here? Are you here because that's what good people do? Are you keeping up appearances? If so, let me just tell you, life is too short. It's a waste of your time. Life is not right yet, but it will be. And you have seen what was written about the Son of Man. You have seen that God's mercy is infinite. So go ahead. Let it rip. Sing it out. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. What else are you going to pray? In Jesus' name. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.